Thank you for those that are gathered here with us in the sanctuary, for those that are in the parking lot, and Lord, for those that are at their houses. We just thank you for being able to gather and to worship you. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for the president and the first lady as they now have been diagnosed with COVID. And we just ask that you be with them. And Lord, not only them, but anyone who's had this virus, this disease. And we pray for the doctors and the nurses and those that are taking care of them. Lord, we pray for our first responders, our police officers. We just ask that you just be with them and watch over them and put your hedge of protection around them and keep them safe during this time. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather you're sending us so that our farmers can get in the fields and continue with their harvest. And we just ask for a bountiful harvest for them and that safety be paramount for them. Go with us now, Lord. Guide, direct, and lead us, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Several announcements this morning. The first one, the flowers today are from Alan and Marcia Lee in honor of Miles and Whitney's birthday. Now, this was brought to my attention from the flower team a couple of weeks ago. Since we're not having a bulletin right now, and when we have the flowers, I will be making an announcement so that people will know who the flowers were in honor of, memory of, or whatever the occasion may be. So today, from Alan and Marcia. So thank you for that. Team Kid will start back Wednesday. Just the youth start back Wednesday, okay. All right, the youth will be starting back Wednesday at 6 o'clock, so we need to keep that in mind. And if you got youth kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces, or whatever, please let them know so that they can plan to attend this. Now, Robin and Michael, and I kind of got in between, so y'all going to have to fill me in, but there's been a Facebook group created. And Michaelin has contacted, or Robin has contacted, whomever would be involved in that, correctly? For Team Kid. And so that will be going, and y'all are going to start with a Bible story. It will be posted on Sunday afternoon. Okay, there will be a virtual Bible story posted on Facebook every Sunday afternoon for Facebook for the Team Kids. Or I reckon the rest of us could watch it too if we wanted to, but it will be there so that they can start with the Team Kid and the Bible stories. And so that will be taking place starting this afternoon, okay? Ryan's got an announcement, and then I've got a couple more, so we'll let Ryan go and then we'll come back.
I say, well, as Mike said, with youth and you know, Teen Kids starting back online and youth start back on campus, we had planned this past Sunday for a church-wide fellowship as sort of a way to kick things off, have a cookout and games and stuff. That got postponed just because of some of the virus got kind of in our community. And so we rescheduled it for Wednesday, October the 14th. So that's going to be at 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30, 8-ish. We're going to have, we're going to grill out, have hamburgers, hot dogs, things like that. We're also going to have games on the lawn. It's going to be completely outside. So come, bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket. And it's going to be a good time. If you see people out in your community, have some neighbors, maybe some people that haven't been here a while, then reach out to them and invite them to this. We're really looking forward to this. Linnell. No, it's all going to be provided.
All right. So that's October the 14th at 6:30. All right. And everything will be provided except maybe a chair for people to sit in to enjoy whatever. Okay. Any other announcements any group has or anything at this time? Mike, anything from the deacons other than that? Okay, let's look at praises and prayer requests and stuff. As I mentioned, the weather, y'all, that's a praise. My dogs are so happy. I've been trying to run them some in the mornings, and they get hot after about 2 minutes, and it just ain't good. But this cooler weather has made them last a little bit longer as I'm trying to get them into some kind of hunting shape. So the cool weather has been nice, I promise you. Anybody else, any kind of praises this week? Tammy?
We started Swamp Gravy again. Okay.
Okay. All right. For those of y'all in the parking lot and in your homes, Tammy mentioned that we were able to start Swamp Gravy this weekend. Yes, we're not able to pack in 300 plus people. We can only have 92 in there at a time. And there's social distancing. You wear your mask, all that kind of good stuff. But the story is one that needs to be told. So if you feel so led, come join us. We'll have a good time. All right. Any other announcements on that? Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, I would say talk about we're in the date for time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, this week the SGA officially welcome visitors, I guess, back on campus. So I was able to do that, and I used to lead a Bible study on Wednesday, me and Jane from Corporate Free Will.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked us for the first few weeks that, you know, just wait, let's see how they go. So this was the first Wednesday that I was able to like go back and see the teachers and see a lot of the kids. So it's like a cool mini review.
Okay. Again, for those of you on the parking lot and at home, Ryan said that SGA opened the school back up this week to visitors, and he was able to go and do their youth ministry down there and meet with the kids and the teachers, and it was a good time with that. So thank you for being able to do that and for doing that. All right, anything else? I know John Davis is in the parking lot and Susan's still at the house, but they're getting better. They're getting better, and we're thankful for that. We feel, John Hatcher and I feel lost when John Davis isn't here, so we wing it every Sunday, and so we're glad that John's getting. And Linnell, you don't get the heartache that we get, but we're so glad that he's doing better. And anyone else who's been sick with the COVID virus, we're thankful that they're getting better. Another praise from us, Sutton was able to come home this weekend. We hadn't seen her in a week, a month. I don't know. It's been a while, but she was able to come home, and she's back in class. She had been quarantined for a month, 2 weeks with one of the students there in her class, and then 2 weeks when Matt got it. So she was just like, let me out of this room, let me get back to class and do whatever. So we're glad for that. Mickey White, I saw him in the parking lot, and this will go, I guess, to prayer request. But a fella, and I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, Steve Bucus, something like that, was from Florida, and he was up here yesterday working on deer plots or whatever, and he tried to jump start his tractor from on the ground, and PTO was running when he got it, and he got killed. Okay, so that's not a good way to do it, but we certainly need to be in prayer for him and his family and anybody, certainly our farmers and all who are around this equipment every day. We need to keep them in our prayers during this harvest time, up and down the roads, and because you know folks don't slow down for tractors. So, that. All right, any other prayer request? Anything else? All right. Well, if not, then we'll move right on. We don't have any special music today, unless someone wants to jump up and come up here and sing right off the bat. I didn't think so. So, Rick, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. And if you would take your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, we started a message entitled The Action of the Lord God. We want to close that out this morning. And as you're turning, let me just challenge you. I don't know how many of folks are listening on Wednesday night at 6. We do a program. And both these series, the series that we're doing this morning on spiritual warfare, and also on Wednesday nights, we're looking at how to stay prepared in a polluted society. And, you know, when somebody's that's preparing for war, thank God that we're not in one right now, but still we have soldiers all over the United States who are still training. They're learning different techniques. And yet in the spiritual realm, we are at a war or in a war 24/7. And so we need to be prepared how to respond, how to react as we study God's word, as we pray for one another, those kinds of things. We need to be ready and prepared. And so we've been listing certain things that we can do, like stay prepared, stay positioned. I think Wednesday night was Colossians 3, how it says to set your affections on things above, not things on below. Trying to do some encouraging things for you on Wednesday night as well. So hope and pray you guys are listening to that and hopefully being encouraged by that. Let me say we missed you guys last week. Thank you for Ryan for coming and preaching for me. But I tell you, it's a great feeling to know that you, your wife, your son, his wife, and your two grandbabies have professed faith in Jesus and have been baptized. That's a great feeling to know that they've been born again. And so we had that privilege last Sunday to ride up to Northridge Church in Thomaston to see Ava Grace profess her faith in Christ and to be baptized. So my family, we're all in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's always a relief and an excitement. So thank you for the opportunity to go there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, I think is a great verse. I think the chapter 3 of Genesis is one of the most important chapters because it tells us about the gospel. Believe it or not, the Old Testament teaches us about the gospel. And chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." And so we see here there had to be death. There had to be some type of animal. We know the Bible says in John chapter 1:29 that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:36, he calls him the Lamb of God. We don't know if it was a lamb or what type of animal, but there had to be a shedding of blood. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 9, verse 22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness, no cleansing of sin." And the Old Testament knew. In fact, the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 talked about how the blood of animals could not take away sin. And we know that. Only the precious, powerful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was able to cleanse us from all sin. But they did that as a picture, as symbolic, to look forward to the Messiah, to His coming. So we've been looking at how sin originated. We all went all the way back to Isaiah and also Ezekiel 28, talking about how Lucifer was created, a beautiful angel, and how through pride he sinned against God, and a third of the angels were cast down to hell. And so, you know, we've looked at the originality of that. We've seen how man has fallen here in chapter 3. But notice again, there are a couple of things I want to just review very quickly. And in chapter 3, verse 1, remember Satan, when he begins to talk to Eve, he only says, God hath said. But yet throughout the scripture, it talks about the Lord God, the Lord God. You can read it several times in chapter 3. Reminding us that God is in His supremacy, in His sovereign. He is ruler and reigning of all. He's in control of all things. Satan hates that word, Lord, because that was his desire. That was his passion. That was what his will was. He wanted to be the one that was worshiped and praised and honored and glorified rather than God Himself. And so there are several things that I think are very important that we can relate to even our lives today. First of all, we know that God pursued Adam and Eve after they had sinned, after they had rebelled against God. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Thankfully, God has come to us. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God came to me, continued to come to me, continued to speak to me, continued to convict me. Because, see, I was dead like you are. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And the moment you trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit quickened you, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. He quickened your spirit and made you a whole person. And so, you know, somebody can't say, "Well, I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go where I want to go. And then when I get older, I'll come to Christ." Well, it doesn't happen that way. John tells us in John chapter 6, John chapter 8, it's the Spirit of God that draws. It's the Word of God that convicts and draws men and women. So whenever you sense that, and I hope and pray that everybody here has sensed that at one time in their lives, that the Spirit of God drew them, they realized that we're sinners, that we're dead in trespasses and sin. And without Christ and the cross and the precious blood of Jesus and our faith and repentance, you know, we can't be born again. So I'm excited to see in the very beginning of beginnings, God came pursuing Adam and Eve. What did they do? They hid from God. You know, at one time they had a great fellowship because they were a whole person, their spirit, their soul, and their body, yet was without sin. And yet now they've rebelled. And so instead of coming to God in the cool of the day, they run and hide. And yet God comes to them and pursues them and asks the question, "Where are you?" And that's a great question. Even today, as a believer, the Holy Spirit may be speaking, saying, "Where are you in your life? Where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your Bible study? Where are you in your prayer time? Where are you in your sharing of your faith and witnessing and telling people about Christ?" It's something we need to ask ourselves. What about our relationship with the Lord? How intimate it is? How intimate it should it be? And so God pursued them. The second thing I think is important, that God promised them a Savior. And we see that in verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and your woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Again, a reference to the cross. Satan worked through men. They tried to trick Jesus in his life. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Essenes, all those religious people began to ask questions to trick Christ, to get him to fall and say something that he shouldn't say. And yet he was without sin, a man of perfection, a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet he said he was the Son of Man. He said he was God in flesh. And yet that they felt like he was blasphemous because they only worshiped Caesar. Caesar was the only king, only one to worship. And yet Jesus went to the cross like a lamb before his shearers, Isaiah 53 says, and he did not open up his mouth. And yet he was crucified on a cross. We should have been the ones. Adam and Eve should have been the ones that died. But God came and pursued them and promised them a Savior. And then you'll notice, if you would, that he provided the sacrifice in our verse 21. The Bible says, "For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." There had to be a death. Somebody had to die. And that's why God sent Christ, God in flesh, to tabernacle among us and live that perfect life and set the example in everything that he did, that we might believe, we might trust, we'll put our faith in him, we'll repent and turn away from our sin and trust Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And I sort of thought about, you know, the Lamb of God. That was a subject that I was contemplating over the weeks. And we looked at a couple real quickly. We talked about Jesus as the replacement lamb. And in Exodus chapter 12, you remember the story. Israel was bound under the Pharaoh government, the Egyptian government. And God sent Moses and Aaron. And Moses asked the question, "Who should I tell them sent me?" He said, "You tell them, I am Jehovah God, I am has sent you." And if you remember in Exodus 12, that the word was, take a lamb without spot, without blemish, a male lamb of a year, and take that lamb and slit its throat, take the blood, put it over the doorpost, that when the death angel comes by, then there will be safety, that no one would die within the household. And by faith, they trusted God and His Word. By faith, they took that lamb. By faith, they killed the lamb, took the blood, put it over the door. And the Bible says that when the angel came, and when I see the blood, and I can't believe when I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, y'all never heard the hymn, When I See the Blood. That's way back, but it ought to be in our hymn books because it's so powerful. And so the blood of Christ, again, cleanses us from sin. And then we mentioned how God pursued and purged them by getting them out of the garden. Sometimes we think, well, that was a negative thing. That wasn't good. But no, it was positive. It was God's grace and God's mercy. Because had they still been in the garden and participated and eaten of the tree, they would have lived forever and ever and ever and ever in their sin. So, you know, God did some wonderful things. You know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? I mean, we got a lot to be grateful for. Because of who Christ is. So He's the replacement lamb. But second of all, He is the remarkable lamb. And we talked about through His birth, the virgin birth, He's remarkable. We talked about through His behavior. We see His miracles as we read the Word of God. We listen to His messages. And people were saying, no man ever spake like that man. And we see the meekness of Christ. He was willing to submit His life to His Father and to His Father's will. And so He was remarkable in His birth. He was remarkable in His behavior. And He was also remarkable in what He broadcasted, what He stated, what He professed, that He was God in flesh. If you remember John chapter 6, verse 38, He says, I am the bread of life. He said in John 10, verse 7 and 9, I am the door. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter number 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And also in John 15, 1 to 5, I am the vine. And every one of those, He professes to be God. He was more than a man. He was God in a body. He was God in flesh. And so that's the only way that it could happen for us. Because He both knew God and had participated as man, and He brought man to God. And so that's an exciting thing to think about. So He is the remarkable lamb. Now notice, if you would, let's turn over quickly to Isaiah 53. It's amazing how in the book of Isaiah, there's so many different things that talk about Christ in Isaiah chapter 15. Look, if you would, at verse 53, or chapter 53. Which is, I think, one of the most quoted of Isaiah's passages. So we know that He was the replacement lamb. He was the remarkable lamb. But notice He was the reviled lamb. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says He is despised. Can you imagine Jesus? The Bible says in John 1:11, He came unto His own. Think about that. He came unto His own, the Jewish people. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The word despised there means that He was hated. Can you imagine the Savior of the world coming to give His life for Jewish people, the ones that He chose? And yet they totally despised Him. In John 15, I was reading this morning, in several of the verses, He says, I was hated without a cause. They really didn't have a reason. I was hated because I came, I presented myself. I told them exactly who sent me, who I am, and they hated me. And you know what? He said also in that chapter that if they hated Him, this world's going to hate you. They're going to despise you because of your stand. They're going to despise you because of your faith. They're going to despise you because of your trust in a Savior. In fact, I think a lot of people think that we're crazy in what we do on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we know the Christian life is an everyday life. We know that we come and we meet in this place on Sunday, but it's an everyday walk with the Lord. And it says that He was despised. In fact, if you read on down in the last of the chapter, it says again that He was despised. In fact, the word means He was forsaken. Can you imagine Jesus coming to die for the world and they hated Him without a cause? They forsook him. They despised him. In fact, not only was he the reviled lamb, but he was also the rejected lamb. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. They rejected him. I don't know about, have you ever been rejected? I don't know about you, man. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I don't want to be hated. I don't want to be talked about in a bad way. I think we all would want to be loved. But I tell you what, I don't know about you. I've had rejection in my life. I've had people that rejected me, rejected who I was, what I stand for. And you know, that hurts you. And I can imagine Jesus, think about him. Yeah, he was God, but yeah, he was still man. He thirsted, he hungered, he got tired, he slept. He still was a man. He was the God man, 100% man, 100% God. But yet he was forsaken. He was rejected. He was hated. He was despised. And I know that even in our lives, you know, even in his thinking, even in his feeling, his emotions, he showed emotion all throughout his life. I remember John 11, he wept over Jerusalem. He wept when Lazarus died because he knew the effect and the consequences of what sin would bring. And yet, in his emotions, I can't imagine. But yet in what he came to do, to save people, they didn't want that. Many, if you remember the road when he came into Jerusalem, you know, at first they said, "Hail Jesus, praise God, praise God." And then all of a sudden they say, "Do away with him. We don't have anybody that's a king but Caesar. He's our king. Crucify him, crucify him." I wonder how many of us, what would we have felt during that time, wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted, wanted people to receive us, and yet they hated him, and they hated him to the point of they wanted him dead. Even that a murderer would be released, that Jesus would die and be crucified. He was the rejected lamb. But notice number 5, he was the receiving lamb. What did Jesus receive? It's sad to say that Jesus suffered. It's sad to say that Jesus went through much pain and agony and anguish. Look, if you would, at chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. Listen, a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. The word there means pains, plural. He's a man of sorrow. Notice, acquainted with grief. In other words, that was something that he sensed and felt constantly. The Bible says, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God." Can you imagine everybody rejecting you, and then when he was on the cross, even his father rejected him. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Can you imagine ever being totally alone by yourself? I hear people say, you know, "Well, I'm alone." Well, if you're saved, you're not. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But Jesus on the cross, even his father turned his back on his own son. Why? Because God's holy and awesome and righteous and cannot look upon sin. And Jesus, the Bible says, was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. And yet he received pain and suffering and agony. But you know what I love? All throughout that, the Bible says in Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died." Can you imagine that? Jesus didn't say, you know, "Get your life right. You know, get right with me and then I'll love you. Get right with me and I'll forgive you. Get right with me and we'll be great friends. Get right with me and I'll give you the Holy Spirit." No, while we were yet sinners, having no desire, no looking for God, doing our own thing, living our own life, Jesus still loved us with an unconditional love. I'll tell you, I've been preaching over almost 40 plus years and I can't fathom that. But thank God it's true. Amen. He showed his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. There had to be death. Somebody had to pay the consequences for our sin. And Jesus said, "I will do it. I'll give my life. I will go to the cross. I will shed my blood. I will give my life that people would be born again." Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He received much pain, much agony, much suffering, much rejection, but he still came and did what God wanted him to do. Then number six, he was the ransomed lamb. In verse 7 of chapter 53, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was willing to give himself up, going through all that he did. I mean, just think about, I just stop and think about the mental pain that he went through. Then I begin to think about the emotional pain that he went through. Then I begin to think about the physical pain. Many say, if you really look at what Jesus went through, and just before he went to the cross, the whipping of the cat of nine tails, that his body was so bruised and beaten that you couldn't even recognize him, Isaiah says. You could even possibly see the insides of his organs, that is the bone and the glass in those nine cat of nine tails that ripped out flesh and vessels and muscles and tissue that you could even see inside of his body. I mean, I just think of those kinds of things. And then the spiritual pain that he came to save. He came to change a person's life. He came to exchange hell for heaven. I can't even physically, mentally, emotionally, even in myself, even see and figure what he went through for me. He went through for people like us. Even when we were not even looking for him at all, he still loved us. And you know, what one thing is so just really awesome is, you know, his love never changes. He loved us as much as when we were lost as we are now saved. Some people think, well, now that we're saved, he loves us more. No, his love never changes. His love has always been the same. And we see that Jesus was the ransomed lamb. Then notice he was the rescuing lamb. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, that's the reason why he came. His name was Emmanuel, God with us. He came to save his people from their sins. What did Jesus do? Number one, Jesus can cleanse sin. Aren't you glad of that today? Amen. Jesus can cleanse us of our sin. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Can you imagine? Praise God, our past, our present, our future sin is under the blood of Jesus. Now, that doesn't give us the right to go out and live any way we want to live. If we've been born again by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit is living in us, there is a passion to live for God and to serve Him with everything we are within us because of who He is and what He's done for us. It doesn't give us an excuse. Well, you know, my sins are forgiven. I just go out and live any way. No, I don't think so. The passion, the compassion, the love that is instilled in us, now we can let that be made known through other people as we share the gospel. But he has the ability to cleanse sin. But second of all, he has the ability to convert souls. He converts our souls. He changes our lives. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. At that time, listen to this, you were without Christ. He's talking about those who, there was a time in our lives, a time in my life, from birth until 19. I wasted 18 plus years going to church all my life, having a Bible, doing all the things that Christians ought to do, but yet lost as a goose. I was without Christ. Listen to what he said. Being aliens, listen to the words, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, no hope, he goes on to say, and without God in the world. But I love these next words, but now, presently, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were, past tense, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Man, that's exciting. That's exciting. Man, that ought to make a Baptist that's dead, ought to make him shout. I mean, we've been born again. Man, hell is not the place that we're going to spend eternity. We're living, and we ought to live eternal life. We're living it right now. That even if death came or Christ came, we'd be more alive than ever. And so we've got a lot to be thankful. We've got a lot to be grateful for. And I think sometimes we forget about the old story of Jesus and His love. You don't hear a lot about the blood being preached anymore. We need to preach about the blood. We need to preach about the Lamb of God and what He went through and being saved. But 1 John, listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. That they can't understand us. They can't figure us out. They can't understand how we can go through this virus or go through storms or difficulties or problems or whatever we might. They can't understand how we can go through and still have the joy, 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 joy down in our heart. Because we have Christ. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. And so it says that the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the privilege of seeing eye to eye, talking to the Savior of the world. Amen? I mean, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. And so we see that He was the rescuing Lamb because He can cleanse sin, He can convert souls, and He can change sinners. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He can change sinners. Real quickly, I remember years ago, we were on vacation. We were at Prince Avenue Church in Athens, Georgia. I'm from Elberton, and I saw a guy that I know from Elberton. He was the meanest guy in the world. He was a year younger than I, and we played football together, baseball together, basketball together. And you know what? I made the stupid statement of saying, that dude will never get saved. Well, just to show you how the Lord is, I was in the service that He walked down the aisle. He had been saved by God's grace, and God had called him to be a missionary. So don't ever think that everybody, nobody out there can ever be saved. It might be this or that. Listen, Jesus can save anybody. He can save anybody. If He can save me, He can save you. And finally, let me close with this. Jesus, as the rescuing Lamb, not only does He have the ability to pardon, but He also has the ability to protect us, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we have the assurance of our salvation. Not only does He protect us spiritually, but He also protects us physically. Let me give you an illustration and we'll close. You remember last Sunday we had the opportunity to go to see my grandbaby get baptized. We had to get up at 4:00. We didn't want to go and get a hotel because all this stuff going on. And so we decided we'd get up at 4:00, get a little coffee in us, get dressed. And so we had some stuff that we wanted to give them because they're moving. They're in the process. They've already moved. But yet, you know how that is, having boxes everywhere. And so Robin had gotten some nifty kind of things for them to help them to eat food things and such as that. And so I got into my car, and I'm going to tell you, there was the most stinking smell I've ever smelt in my life. I mean, my car is relatively new. It's a 2017. And we don't drive it that much. But I got in that car and I thought, my goodness, what has died in this car? And I told Robin, I said, man, we can't go. We can't go in this car. It stinks. And so we had to unload everything. And I just so happened to look in the garage. And I noticed, and this might be a little gross here, getting close to lunch. But there was something on the front of my hood. And you know what it was? A cat had either brought two dead mice or two dead birds. All I saw was carcass. I'm going to use a Greek word. I saw cat poop. And I saw all, I mean, it was a mess. And I told Robin, man, we're just going to have to unload everything, put it in your car. And I got to one. Now, Lord, why in the world did all this happen? We're getting ready to go see baptism and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, we did our thing and came back, and lo and behold, I ain't never seen so many flies in my life. So I said, Robin, I'm going to take the car around the house, scoot it off, clean everything off. It's going to take me a while. And, you know, I got everything done, and flies kept coming. You know, finally washed it all off and all that kind of stuff. And I happened to look down on the front tire was the biggest screw I had ever seen in my life. And, you know, I thought, you know, leaving around 6 o'clock on those back roads heading to up north, you know, we could have had a tire that blew. We saw 6 deer, a possum, and a rabbit. And, you know, who knows what could have happened? And it was sort of like God saying, I got you. I got you covered. You know why? I've been praying for my wife. I've been praying for my family. I've been praying for my church family. Job 110, that hedge of protection, that hedge. And that's the verse that came to my mind that God said, not only have I protected you spiritually, you are secure in me. You've been sealed in the day of redemption, but I can protect you physically. And I wonder how many times and how many testimonies we could hear today from people that either an angel of God or God spoke in such a way to save you from maybe an accident or something very difficult. So I praise God this morning because He is the Lamb of God, that He saved me, He secured me, He's changed me, He's still changing me, and that we have a lot to praise Him for. We have a lot to glorify Him. And I hope and pray that you know Him personally, because there's been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior and your Lord. And you have the confidence to know that you know that you know, whether it be the rapture, whether it be death, because we are going to face one of that one day. Where would you go? Where are you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for the opportunity to share in your love. And Lord, thank you for being the Lamb of God. Lord, thank you for saving us for your precious blood. Lord, thank you for securing our salvation in you. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that worked together to do so many things. Lord, thank you for physically protecting Robin and I this past week. And Lord, you've done it. You've done it. And there's no telling how many times that we don't even know that, Lord, you protected us in such and such a direction. So we are grateful and thankful, and we praise you. And Father, it's our prayer that people who are lost, they are without hope. They are without hope, strangers, aliens. And Lord, it's my passion that they might come to know the Jesus that I know, that they might come to know that, yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That we, by faith, as the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to prick and convict and to draw us, that we might be saved and admit and confess, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you come into my life and save me and change me? And Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, there may be Christians who have sort of slacked up because of this virus and other obstacles and situations that we face just in daily life. And Lord, if Jesus were to ask some, where are you? They would probably be embarrassed to share because they haven't been reading their Bibles. They haven't been participating in prayer and doing those things that you've called us to do. So, Father, continue to love us. Lord, thank you for your patience and your long suffering. And Lord, help us in this new week as we put our focus, our affections, Lord, everything that we have, we're looking unto Jesus. You are the author, the finisher of our faith. Lord, we don't need anything else. All we need is Jesus because He is sufficient. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Anybody, anything, any announcements, anything you thought of in between? Please go ahead and put October the 14th on your calendar. Let's strive to have good turnout for that because, yeah, the COVID virus is still here, but one day we got to get back in the groove. And we can wear our mask and we can social distance out there and still have a good time. So please keep that date on your calendar. If nothing else, then we're dismissed. Have a great rest of the day.